KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly sunny sky. It's 59 degrees here in Atlantic. We look for areas of fog this morning. Otherwise, partly cloudy skies with isolated afternoon showers and thunderstorms possible. And we look for a high near 80. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In state news, the Iowa Department of Public Health says a mild but highly contagious viral disease has been widespread in the state this summer. DPH Medical Director Caitlin Perdotti says the heat may be contributing to the high number of hand, foot, and mouth disease cases. The symptoms include a sore throat and a miserable rash.
And that rash can look like either flat red spots or a little bit raised red bumps. And sometimes it looks like blisters as well. And we tend to see these on the hands, feet, and mouth of kids, which is where it gets its name, although it's possible that it could occur on other parts of the body.
Dr. Perdotti says while hand, foot, and mouth disease makes kids feel miserable, they rarely need to go to the hospital.
It's not typically very serious. You know, usually what will happen is you'll recover on your own in about 7 to 10 days.
The disease is contagious, so Perdotti says it's important that those who have it stay home for several weeks after the symptoms are gone.
There's no specific treatment for it. It's one of those where we say, you know, getting some rest, and staying hydrated, providing supportive care is really the way to go.
While Perdotti says anecdotally there are more cases than usual this time of year, the department doesn't count incidences of hand, foot, and mouth disease. In area news, the local food and farm celebration will be held this coming Saturday and Sunday, August 4th and 5th, at farms near Atlantic and Elkhorn. The event is being held for the third year for local communities to experience the diversity of agriculture in the region. It offers a chance to experience the farms, meet the farmers, and allow kids to get up close and personal with soil, vegetables, and animals. You're welcome to bring your family and friends to visit farms north and west of Atlantic. Farms include organic and conventional practices, including vegetable fields, fruit trees, and row crops. The tour also includes beekeeping and livestock, and again, that event is free. Visit the farms between 1 and 5 p.m. again this Saturday and Sunday. Each of the farms will offer guided tours beginning at 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, and 4 o'clock, but you're welcome to come anytime. Produce or other goods may be available for purchase as well. Displays and food-related activities may be a part of the respective open house events. If you're curious about your food or just looking for a fun family outing, you're invited to attend that third annual local food farming and celebration on August 4th and 5th, again from 1 until 5 p.m. Some of the farms participating include Allen and Linda Robinson, who will be featuring their beef products, Harrisdale Farmstead, featuring fruit, vegetable, and permaculture practices, Rolling Acres Farms, community-supported agriculture, organic vegetable, greenhouse, and high tunnel production, Pace Poultry and Produce, they'll have vegetables and poultry, and Kevin Peterson will have organic row crop demonstrations and views. The Danish Countryside Wines and Vines will feature grape production and wine fermentation. Brunco Farm will feature pastured beef and pork production. Some of the exhibits you'll encounter include a Desiree Farms, goat milk products and goats. Natural Resources Conservation Service will talk about soil health. The Smith Generation Farms will talk about cover crops. And, of course, there's the Wallace Foundation. Now, those farms are located between Atlantic and Elkhorn along Highway 173 and Littlefield Drive. Look for a map and the event photos. And on August 4th and 5th, look for the signs along the highway. One person is dead following a single vehicle accident Sunday morning in Fremont County. The Fremont County Sheriff's Office says the driver of a 2010 Dodge Ram truck, 67-year-old Marsha K. Moore of Riverton, was trapped in her vehicle and was extricated by mechanical means. She died from her injuries at the Grape Community Hospital in Hamburg. Authorities say deputies responded to the scene of the crash in the 2900 block of Highway 275 at around 10:25 a.m. Sunday. An investigation determined the pickup, which was traveling south, had exited the west side of the roadway and rolled over several times. An autopsy will be performed on Moore by the Iowa Office of the State Medical Examiner in Ankeny. The manner of her death was being withheld until a full autopsy result is complete and the accident remains under investigation. A traffic stop in Adams County at around 12:40 a.m. on Saturday resulted in the arrest of two women. The Adams County Sheriff's Office reports during the investigation, the canine Baxo was deployed on the vehicle and gave a positive indication to the presence of narcotics. Upon further investigation, Jolene Most was placed under arrest for possession of a controlled substance, oxycodone, possession of a controlled substance, hydrocodone, and possession of a controlled substance, clonazepam. A passenger of the vehicle, Natasha Stalder of Corning, was placed under arrest for possession of a controlled substance, second offense, methamphetamine, and another count of possession of a controlled substance, second offense, marijuana. Democrat Iowa Senator and Lieutenant Governor candidate Rita Hart paid a visit to the Cass County Fair over the weekend on Saturday. In fact, Hart, the running mate of gubernatorial candidate Fred Hubble, sat down with reporters after visiting with residents to discuss what she's hearing are concerns from Iowans.
You know, we've been traveling the state for, you know, quite a while now, more than a few weeks, and we're hearing the same things from people. People are very concerned about health care, about its affordability and about its accessibility. And they're particularly upset about the fact that the privatization of Medicaid has caused a lot of people to fall through the cracks.
And Hart, who was elected to the Iowa Senate in 2012 and reelected in 2014, says she's used her position as a District 49 state senator to intercede for people that have not received the care they need as a result of the decision to privatize Medicaid.
But also, there are providers that have not been paid, and so there's just a lot of fallout from the privatization of Medicaid, and they would like to see us reverse that. They'd like to see that get back under state control.
Is that another issue of concerns Iowans have spoken about with her is the status of mental health care in the state.
Nearly everywhere we go, there's a story to be told about somebody who is not receiving the mental health care that they need and the fallout from that to the because of the lack of providers, etc. So mental health care is top on their concern list. Of course, we're hearing a lot about rural economic development. We're hearing a lot about the effects of the trade war, the worries about the future because of that, about investment in education, and about raising people's incomes.
And she said the goal of the Hubble Hart campaign is to listen to people and put their needs first.
We intend to get into the governorship there and turn this budget around so that we can take a situation where we have a budget deficit and have these midterm budget cuts that have been really harmful to people. We're going to take a look at the budget in general and especially examine those wasteful tax giveaways so that we can find some way to invest in Iowa in the right way.
Hart said as governor, Fred Hubble would be a good manager at the helm where the budget is concerned, as evidenced by his business background. His philanthropic endeavors, she said, is proof that he cares about Iowans. Democrat Senate candidate for Iowa House District 20, Warren Varley of Stewart, was at the Cass County Fair also on Saturday. Varley, a local farmer and attorney who ran unopposed in the June primary election, will face a challenge from Greenfield Republican candidate Ray Bubba Sorensen II in the November 6th general election. Sorensen defeated Dodge Paragon in the Republican primary. Both men hope to succeed retiring District 20 Representative Clell Baudler. District 20 covers Adair, Guthrie, the northeast part of Cass, and a section of Dallas counties. Varley says he's concerned with the direction the Iowa legislature is taking the state in with regard to economic development, especially public education.
That's not only crucial to the future of our children and our well-being generally, but also as an economic development tool. We have a serious shortage of middle skills workers, and a key way to fill that is to take a more proactive measures in our public education to get our students engaged who maybe aren't necessarily looking to go to a four-year school.
He says that there's a shortage of worker housing in the state as well, and there needs to be an investment in the infrastructure to make workers available and attract jobs.
Right now we're losing businesses because they want to expand but don't have the workforce in order to expand, or they're looking here and not able to locate here because we're lacking the workforce. So I really want to focus the state capital's attention on developing rural Iowa. The population is increasingly shifting to the urban areas. This year, more than half of the population is contained in 10 counties. And that shift of power means that we rural areas have to punch above our weight. So we need a strong advocate for rural Iowa in the state legislature.
And Warren Varley says there's too much extremism on both the state and federal level and not enough decision-making down the middle of issues.
And we tend to end up with the extremes butting heads and ending up in gridlock. I want to go back to the time when Iowa was more like when my dad was in the legislature and Bob Ray was governor. You saw a lot of working across party lines and cooperation and moderation, and I think I represent that.
His father, Andrew Varley, by the way, served as a Republican legislator for 12 years. And that is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.